Chapter 3. Man.
It's 11:59 p.m., New Year's Eve. The door swings open and in walks, that's right, bitches, walks, the most incredible creature anyone has ever seen. Upright, hairless, with a frontal lobe that screams high cognitive functioning, this strange being moves in, redecorates the joint, and eats half the guests before the ball drops. Yeah, boy! Homo sapiens in the house! If the chronology of life on Earth were compressed into a year, humanity would have been around for only that final minute. But in that time, we managed to domesticate dogs, clone sheep, and kill off more species of arthropod than we could shake a stick at. You know, the stick we were holding in our now free-to-grasp hand. So how about a nice round of applause for man, the evolutionary wunderkind? Good morning, Earth's creatures, and topo the food chain to you. Though our intellectual and spiritual prowess far outpaced that of all other organisms, I'm going to be honest here, we were not perfect. Our abilities could be exercised only within the confines of our own bodies. Now, on the off chance that you exist as amorphous vapors floating immaterially in space, bodies were portable, individual-sized carrying cases for the soul. Every human being was given exactly one such body at the moment of conception, so you could see why we would encase them in a thick, protective layer of fat. Now, our bodies had their virtues, durability, the capacity for self-healing, and extraordinary pieces of bioengineering, like a hands, eyes, the upper left quadrant of the clitoris. But for the most part, they were our weak spot. We were neither the fastest animal, that was the cheetah, nor the largest, that was the blue whale, nor the tallest, the giraffe, nor the prettiest, that was a tie, butterflies and well-groomed cocker spaniels. Yet we ruled over all of them. Why? Well, perhaps this riddle will shed some light. What has 3 pounds, 4 lobes, and just came up with the idea for guns? Yes, the brain was our big dog. A dense collection of neurons and their transmitters, it allowed for a level of functioning other fauna could only respond reflexively to direct stimuli about. Its relationship with the body could at times be fraught. Often, no sooner would the mind begin to scale the heights of Mount Knowledge than it would receive a frantic call from Body Base Camp, demanding it return to oversee Operation Masturbate. We actually devoted the majority of our time and energy to satisfying our body's needs, wants, whims, tantrums, and crippling addictions. To the mind, the body was the loud, leaky, high-maintenance apartment it was forced to live in simply because it had nowhere else to crash. But consider it from the body's perspective. From the neck down, the human animal would just as soon have been left alone with its instincts. Eating, sleeping, copulating, immediately sleeping again. These were natural functions that needed no input from upper management. Yet, to justify its job, Mr. Thinks-a-Lot had to constantly butt in with his doubts and diets and insufferable quests for meaning. To the body, the mind was a totalitarian dictator monitoring every aspect of its personal life, its eating, its breathing, its sexual habits, even when and in what room of the house it could defecate. This mind-body tension was the maddening core of our existence, but it was also remarkably productive. In some ways, their relationship was like that of the mismatched pairs of law enforcement officials whose misadventures constitute a significant portion of the television artifacts you will soon be finding. Yes, they were different, but it was those very differences that led them to success and ultimately a kind of grudging mutual respect. Homo sapiens may have been set apart from all other life on Earth by its intelligence, but only in conjunction with our physical selves was this intelligence able to adapt to its conditions, change its environment, and bend the world to its will for the greater good of everyone. The end result is the now lifeless hellscape you see before you.
The rise of man.
Although we shared 98.4% of our DNA with chimpanzees, that last 1.6% was what was known in anthropological circles as a game changer. Who knew that a slightly shorter ilium and a reduction of the supraorbital torus would be the difference between dressing in a suit and tie for work and being dressed in a suit and tie for our amusement?
Why we ruled.
A series of crucial adaptations gradually enabled humanity to conquer the world.
Brain size.
This was the most critical factor. Over time, our brains increased from 400 milliliters, barely enough to feed a large family of baby spiders, to a zombie feast-sized 1,400 milliliters. These bigger brains allowed us to engage in abstract thought, which is a cool idea if you think about it.
Bipedal locomotion.
Walking on 2 feet freed our hands for carrying, increased our pursuit and escape speed, and improved our field of vision. It also made us no longer able to lick our own testicles. It was probably worth it.
Manipulative hands.
The newly liberated hands evolved into fine instruments capable of performing an extraordinary range of tasks, from flashing gang signs to testing for prostate cancer to helping us draw turkeys. The hands' project manager was the opposable thumb, which maintained an excellent working relationship with the other fingers, but remained aloof from them in its private life.
Language.
As our larynxes descended, we were able to make sounds with our mouths in new and far more expressive ways. Verbal language soon overtook physical gesturing as the primary means of communication for all human beings except Italians.
Tools.
Greater intelligence and dexterity allowed us to fashion and use tools. These were artificial extensions of ourselves that were harder or longer or grippier than we were. Naturally, we began to resent them, so we gained a level of revenge by making their name synonymous with douchebag.
Pioneering archaeologist Mary Leakey, 1913 to 1996, revolutionized the study of hominid evolution with her landmark 1964 publication, The Fuckability of Man.
Australopithecus afarensis was an extraordinary breakthrough in terms of brain capacity and dexterity, but he was no reputable female archaeologist's idea of a fun Friday night. Squat, hairy, hunched over, and less than 1.3 meters tall, one would not have tapped this if the future of the species depended on it. But females back then had not yet developed self-esteem, so they continued banging Australopithecus for the million years needed for the far sexier Homo habilis to emerge. This transitionally fuckable figure was a strangely charismatic bad boy with a taller stature, more human-like face, and a larger rib cage that recently unearthed fossil evidence suggests could have supported rock-hard pecs. While there is still some debate as to precisely how drunk he'd have to get you, serious bioevolutionists agree that after 4 beers you'd be at his place, on your back, and loving it. Yet even he cannot compare on the doability scale to Homo erectus. He was the pivotal moment, the threshold when man, and I do mean man, passed from why not to right now. To observe the reduction in post-canine dentition and vertical shortening of the face is to feel your honeypot start to flow. Plus, he had the dexterity to use diverse tools, if you know what I and the other ladies of the London University Neolithic Research Department mean. Oh, if only I were born 1.5 million years ago, I'd have banged him like a shin bone on an antelope skeleton.
Anatomy. Ideal.
A fully developed human body was a wonder of nature, molded by 3 million years of evolution and 20 years of individual maturation. It was a finely tuned mechanism, an intricate yet supple apparatus, willing and able to do the bidding of its master, the mind.
Anatomy. Actual.
Our bodies were rotting mobile junk drawers. Lulled by centuries of civilization into a comfort bordering on oblivion, they divorced themselves from physical challenges and began inexorably dissipating like sandcastles at high tide.
Expression. Ideal.
We shone with the pride of world domination. Our faces expressed our haughty grandeur, with sensory organs loftily arranged to be kept well above the earth and the skittering creatures below.
Actual.
We carried ourselves as if our secret shames rode like hideous gargoyles on our shoulders.
Health. Ideal.
The forces of evolution forced us into disease and injury-resistant super beings. Our bodies healed our own wounds and chased off infection. On our best days, we felt ourselves nearly impervious to damage.
Actual.
Only a regular regimen of bioengineered chemicals kept us one step ahead of wholesale collapse, and even they could not stave off the aggregate weight of our chronic minor ailments. We had things shutting down, falling off, leaking out, fading away, and our prostates. My God, it felt like there was a Rubik's Cube jammed in there.
Posture. Ideal.
Surely, if any one thing distinguished us from our simian ancestors, it was the ramrod straightness of our spines, ideally suited for surveying the world over which we held sway.
Actual.
Yeah, we hunched like hobgoblins, feasting on the entrails of our broken dreams.
Genitals. Ideal.
Biologically adequate for the task of reproduction.
Actual.
Our secret weapon. And by our, we mean Larry King. It is the only plausible explanation.
Dexterity. Ideal.
Our delicate, nimble fingers could perform microsurgery, throw a fastball down the center of the plate, and tickle out an etude by Chopin.
Actual.
I feel something in my nose. I wonder what I can use to get at it.
Musculature. Ideal.
A finely meshed collection of fibers, from the humble bis, tris, and quads, to the more exotic quints, sects, and septs, were cunningly arrayed to propel us through the world and enable us to do the work of living.
Actual.
It was hard to get to the gym as much as we'd have liked, especially with the new hip and all. Even so, these man boobs, we swore we were going to knock them off by Memorial Day.
Parts of the body. Brain.
Repulsive, slimy seat of reason.
Neck.
Thin and flexible, for easy pivoting and or decapitation.
Skin.
Locked in organs for freshness.
Arms.
Puppeteers of the hands, used for holding, lifting, popping and locking.
Hands.
The brain's two enforcers.
Fingers.
The enforcers hired goons.
Skeleton.
Indispensable solid structural support system and Halloween party favor.
Legs.
Kept the old genitals from dragging on the ground.
Lungs.
Warning. Using these can greatly reduce your enjoyment of cigarettes.
Heart.
Dense, fibrous, fist-shaped muscle endlessly spewing gallons of blood. Symbol of romance.
Muscles.
No matter what you heard, far less important than listening skills and a good sense of humor.
Torso.
Most frequently aimed at part of body.
Navel.
Permanent reminder of the good old days.
Stomach.
Broke down food. One of only two organs with veto power over the brain. See genitals.
Intestines.
Large tube that absorbed nutrients from what we ate, leaving behind the last thing we'd want to eat.
Liver.
Performed dozens of essential functions, known to the cognoscenti as the organ's organ.
Kidney.
Produced urine. Preferred really not to discuss work with other organs. Note, urine and feces were the liquid and solid waste products resulting from digestion. Excreting them was the dirty little secret shared by all human beings, with the exception of movie stars, the President of the United States, and one's own mother.
Nailed it. The anus.
In engineering parlance, it was a simple elastic valve, but our demands on it were daunting. Leakage was a complete deal-breaker. Any stoppage was likewise a failure. Day in and day out, the anus gave us reliable performance from a key position. And positioning it so far away from our noses, genius.
Reproduction.
Like most mammals, humans were made up of two sexes, men and women. This made sexual reproduction possible and eased traffic congestion patterns in public restrooms. Strictly speaking, the differences between the sexes were purely anatomical. But in reality, their ongoing disconnect formed a deep vagina of misunderstanding seldom filled by the penis of knowledge. We will discuss the societal implications of this later. For now, just know that the images of the body parts you're looking at, while natural, are shameful. If we were alive today, We would never allow this type of trash to be sold in any of our finer, enormous, low-wage, bulk sale, discount, chain superstores. We used to make up stories for our children to explain where they came from. But an advanced race like you can probably handle the truth. What follows is a candid excerpt from the 1955 film strip, Reproduction. As much as you need to know.
Sometimes, when a man and woman love each other very much, they decide to create another human being to fight the creeping communist menace. With their clergyman's blessing, they go to the soda shop and exchange sips of chocolate malted. The fertilized malt makes its way down the mommy's throat to her tummy, where it can be more easily concealed by loose clothing. 9 months later, God punishes the mummy for sipping the forbidden malt by nearly ripping her vagina in two. This is J. Edgar Hoover, and I approve this baby-making method.
The senses.
We perceive the outside world using five senses. A few of us had a sixth called gaydar, which, while far less important, did provide hours of bitchy fun. Sight was the sense we used to process visual imagery and to determine if something made us look fat. It was handy for distinguishing many characteristics, such as color, which was notoriously difficult to determine by taste. People who could not see were blind and often used this as an excuse to urinate in their friends' closets. Hearing was vital for communication, and even more vital for miscommunication. It was distinct from listening, which could only be achieved when hearing was combined with giving a shit. People who could not hear were deaf and talked with their hands. Unfortunately, this shifted everything over one, and they ended up having to feel with their mouths and taste with their ears. Touch was a nervous system feature that allowed us to process texture and temperature. There were two kinds of touching, good and bad. Only one of them required the implementation of a national computerized registry. There was a time when taste was completely in sync with our nutritional needs. Alas, our tongues and our health stopped speaking sometime around the invention of the Hot Pocket. Smell was primal. Somehow, the detection of a few airborne molecules could instantly take us back to that magical summer in the Poconos, marshmallows by the bonfire, Julie's freckles, fishing with Dad, that big bass we caught, and then the incident, the screaming, the smell of Julie's charred flesh. Why hadn't we put out the bonfire? Oh, we were too busy fishing with that damn bass fishing rod that we... Oh, Julie, we're so sorry, Julie! Oh, God, forgive us all! Anyway, that smell.
Basic needs. Food and water.
Food and water were our two most basic needs. Both existed in good quantity, but were somewhat unevenly distributed. While millions of us died of starvation and thirst, millions of others were so sated they could afford to use pies, round fruit or cream-filled pastries with enough fat content to sustain a human being for several days, as comedic projectiles, and water as giant slide lubricants. Never quite figured this one out.
The five food groups.
Number one, meat. It tasted like victory. Number two, dairy. Food we stole from baby mammals. Number three, fruits and vegetables. Our most nutritious option, eaten reluctantly. Number four, grains. Their production required a continual scaring of crows. Number five, an ever-increasing amount of fried shit.
Things some of us liked. Delicacies.
Food could be used to assert ethnic identity in the form of delicacies that one culture found delicious and the rest of the world found nauseating.
Haggis.
What it was? A sheep's heart, liver and lungs stuffed and boiled inside its own stomach. Who ate it? Scots and sociopathic wolves. How they came up with it? First developed as a projectile to hurl at English invaders. Why others found it gross? Preferred ground pig snouts and anuses served in intestine casing, on bun, with ketchup. Suggested beverage pairing, sheep's blood mixed with sheep's milk and sheep's mucus, drunk from sheep's skull.
Hasma.
Frog fallopian tubes boiled in sugar water. Who ate it? The Chinese. For dessert. How they came up with it. What other female frog part were they supposed to eat? The clitoris? It's all gristle. Why others found it gross? Deprived frogs of hard-won reproductive freedom. Suggested beverage pairing. Anything alcoholic, but lots of it, and beforehand.
Balut.
What it was? A near fully developed duck fetus, boiled and eaten in the shell. Who ate it? Southeast Asians, freshman pledges at Delta Kappa Epsilon. How they came up with it, inspired by Khmer Rouge method for remedying incorrect thought. Why others found it gross? Embryonic ducks? Yummy. Adult ducks? Mouth-watering. But in between, inhuman. Suggested beverage pairing, a burgundy. Preferably while making eye contact with the egg's mother.
Peeps.
What it was? Hyper-sweetened marshmallow candies shaped like baby animals. Who ate it? Americans and marshmallow snakes. How they came up with it? Railway disaster involving Necco wafers, plumber's caulk, and spent fuel rods. Why others found it gross? Even on the molecular level, did not contain the building blocks of food. Suggested beverage pairing. Key lime flavored Mad Dog 2020.
Sleep and dreams.
We spent a third of our lives passed out unconscious. It's not something we're proud of, believe us. If we had needed so much sleep, we'd be the ones who developed intergalactic space travel, and you'd be the ones whose underwear drawers were being rummaged through. But the truth was, our bodies required roughly 8 hours a day of sleep. We usually only got around five. It was more than a necessary part of our biology. It was a nightly exercise in trusting the universe. Every night, we'd lay down on a bed, either alone or with a spotter, close our eyes and surrender ourselves to a void, hoping that we'd be waiting for us when we got back. The body rested during sleep, but the brain did not. It amused itself by emitting waves and generating dreams, illogical series of images, thoughts, and emotions that could be amusing, terrifying, or downright sexy. Dreams also came to mean a person's highest aspirations in life. Why so many people aspired to be naked in front of large groups of people while running slowly in place is really beyond the scope of this audiobook.
FAQs. Future alien questions.
Was it better to be a man or a woman?
A man.
Is it fair to say the brain was the most important organ?
In matters of intellect, motor control, sensory perception, and the formation of personality, yes. But when it came to the truly important things, the heart held sway.
But didn't the brain also control the heart?
Yes, it technically, that, fine. It, God, whatever happened to romance?
What percentage of you was water?
I'd say about two-thirds. That's why when you shook us really fast, we made kind of a swishy sound. But the water was evenly distributed throughout our bodies. It wasn't like everything below our rib cage was liquid or anything. That'd be stupid.
Why was the right side of your body more coordinated than the left side?
That's how God made us. Unfortunately, about 10% of us chose an alternate lifestyle. Many of them excelled in the arts, but that doesn't make it right.
What was the tallest a person could grow?
Robert Wadlow reached a record height of 2.72 meters, or 8 foot 11 inches tall. He wore size 37 shoes and consumed 8,000 calories a day. It took 500 people 7 weeks to make him a pair of pants. He had a pet rhinoceros that he kept in his pocket. When he died, the earth dug up for his grave became Mount Whitney.
How did you know whether you were asleep or simply unconscious?
It really depended on whether the objects that were circling your head were birds or letter Zs.
Were you allowed to walk around without clothes on?
Only at nudist colonies, which were special penal facilities designed to punish out-of-shape nonconformists by making them look at each other naked all the time.
What was the evolutionary reason for pubic hair?
Well, millions of years ago, when man began losing his fur, the genitals decided they wanted to be the new kings of the body. So they kept their hirsute covering, believing the head's rich mane of hair was the reason the body took its orders. Unfortunately, the genitals, as they so often are, were wrong. And so we were left with nettled thatches of coily tresses that served little function except minimal insulation and the ability to be shaved into a lightning bolt pattern.
How did you know when you'd had enough food?
That's a difficult question. The answers ranged from, if you didn't drop dead, to when you'd won a free t-shirt.
Why were men unable to give birth?
Their butt vaginas were infertile.